1948 brings us to the final church of Tullow Group, to Tullow itself, St. Columba's Tullow. Obviously, one of the churches in our diocese dedicated to Columba, that very major figure amongst the Irish saints. Along the way in Rathsaran, we noted in Rathdowney Union, another church dedicated to Columba. Four places that carry that dedication next year will be extremely significant, because 2021 marks the 1500th anniversary of the birth of Columba. We all know something of the story of him from primary school days, the reasons for his exile to Iona, how it became a focal point of scholarship and great missionary endeavour in Western Scotland. And it'll be very interesting to see what parishes that honour St. Columba, and indeed the wider diocese and the wider church, decide to do next year to mark the moment. I remember a confirmation on one occasion in St. Columba's Tullow, where I talked about, I think it was actually St. Columba's Day, I talked about the assumption we often have, because nowadays Iona is a great place of peace and of getting away from it all. I talked about the assumption we often make that it was always so. In fact, in Columba's time, probably, Iona was a kind of a hub in the days of the ancient sea routes. It was a kind of hub of an intersection of the old sea trading routes coming down from Scandinavia and up from Wales and England. And it was therefore a great point for the dissemination of new ideas and for the dissemination of the good news of the gospel. And so I rather likened, I'm sure strangely, Iona to being the sort of ancient equivalent of today's Ryanair hub. Anyway, back to 1948, the year we're kind of focusing on at this point of the journey. 1948 brought the Declaration of Ireland as a Republic, the Republic of Ireland Act, bringing to an end the Free State, bringing to an end indeed that very last tenuous link that this part of Ireland had with the Crown via the strange concept of what De Valera had called external association, that the Crown had a very residual role, particularly in Irish foreign dealings and the accreditation of diplomats and that sort of thing. But in 1948, it came to an end. De Valera may have liked the idea of external association as just perhaps a small carrot to attract Ulster unionism towards a united Ireland someday down the road. But it was a strange idea, and it was an inter-party government, not a Fianna Fáil government, led by John A. Costello, that brought in the new chapter. And strangely, it was announced by the Taoiseach in Canada that it was the government's intention to legislate for a republic. And so a new chapter begins. We began our story at disestablishment, and disestablishment was in many eyes the first erosion of the cement of the Act of Union. And then we travelled all the way through three attempts at home rule, the 1916 Rising and the consequences of it, the coming of the Dáil and the Free State, partition, the 1937 Constitution, the establishment of the role of President of Ireland. Perhaps Mr. De Valera could never have brought himself to declare a republic that was not the whole 32 counties, although he had in 1945 used the language of republic, in fact, in reply to a parliamentary question. Anyway, it was done, and relatively accepted on all sides, and at last it was legal and complete. That particular journey seems over. But are we yet, as the present president still likes to remind us and ask us, are we yet the real republic to which we aspire, where opportunity is equal and accidents of birth do not dominate your life? And in the context of Brexit, the Republic Act brought about the definition of a continuing special relationship with our nearest neighbour, which should endure of itself. For Parliament in London recognised the Republic being no longer part of His Majesty's dominions, but stressed that Really uniquely, Ireland was not to be regarded as a foreign country or its citizens as aliens, which involves all sorts of entitlements for Irish citizens in Britain to this day. So we pray that, despite present challenges, that special relationship of never being aliens may endure in terms of our close association and shared historical journey with our nearest neighbour. And although we may be by no means strangers still in those dominions, we also need great political wisdom to navigate beyond Brexit so that near neighbourliness lives in parallel harmony with the fact that so much of our outlook now is towards the wider world of the EU.